Hey, this is Scott Fish from the Scott Fish Bowl, and you are listening to the Sleeper Wire Show.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Sleeper Wire Podcast, and I know that you're hearing my docile tones and must be overwhelmed with joy. Yes, I am your host, Nick Summerall. I am back to talk to you guys again and entertain you, but I don't do this alone. I have my wonderful co-hosts. I've got Professor Chris and Prophet Hoos joining me on today's show. Guys, how are you today?
Pretty good. Thanks for welcome to us back. It's good to be back.
Doing awesome, man. Excited for this episode.
So last time I was on with you guys, I was wrapping up the division breakdown special. But, you know, I had to miss a couple weeks. Sorry. You know, it was unfortunate.
How you doing, though, by the way?
I'm good. You know, I was on vacation. Had to get a little bit of a routine surgery. Nothing major, thank God. But, you know, now I'm here. I'm ready to go. Back, you know, we're getting into OTAs now. It's really exciting time for football. And speaking of OTAs, you know, this is a chance where we're going to get to see the rookies that we're hoping can be either steals in the draft, or, you know, maybe if we're doing dynasty draft, you know, you're hoping you get that guy that will solidify your team for the next, you know, 10 years. And I thought this NFL draft class was so exciting that I wanted to build a segment, a brand new segment around it. It is simply called the Master Debater. I think I've seen that porno once before. I don't know. But don't Google Master Debater just like that. Like, if you're going to Google us, Sleeper Wire Master Debater, like, that's probably how you want to go about it, because Master Debater will pull up other things you don't want to see.
I think it's going to come up either way. I think it's going to come up. By the way, Sleeper Wire or not?
Well, if you put Sleeper Wire in, you should be safe. That's all I'm saying. Like, you'll have a better chance of being safe. But here's how this is going to go, guys. Each of us have really looked into two rookies that we really like, and we are going to compete in round-by-round debates. I will debate with Hoos. Chris will debate with Hoos. And I will debate with Chris. That's how this is going to go. We're going to debate two different rookies each time. And afterwards, you're going to hear us. Once whoever advances from that is going to go to the final round, which is a triple header. We will all compete debating the last 2 minutes that we have to talk about these rookies before we give it off to you, the fans, to vote. Who is your favorite of the three? And what host do you think debated the best? You know, who really brought their game to this? Because this is – we like competition here. We want to be competitive. We want to excite people about these rookies, and we want to excite people about us. You know, we're selling ourselves to you guys as well. That's what Sleepwire is here to do. And that's not all this episode is going to bring you guys. I mean, this is a jam-packed episode. You're thinking to yourself, man, let me hear some great debates about – these rookies, you know, guys I'm so curious about. Well, that's not all you get to hear. You're going to hear a great interview today with Scott Fish, the founder of the Scott Fish Bowl. I mean, it was a great interview, guys. I mean, very insightful. It was really interesting to hear how he discovered the Scott Fish Bowl and you know, how it grew from what it started to be to what it is today. I mean, you have tons and tons of people trying to get into this Scott Fish Bowl. Chris, I mean, just try to tell people how big this actually is.
The Scott Fish Bowl was 720 people participating in the Fantasy Football League this year. I think it's 480 analysts and then 260 fans. Is that what it is?
I believe so. And guess what? We are a part of this. We are very excited to be welcomed into the Scott Fish Bowl as one of the analysts to be participating. I mean, it's going to be exciting. So, guys, strap in. Keep your headphones in tight. and just let's just get ready. We're going to entertain you. We're going to bring it to you. This is going to be a very informative episode. Let's get into it. Master Debater, first round. Let's go. It's going to be Prophet Hoos against yours truly, Nick Sumrall. So, Prophet Hoos is going to be debating Kareem Hunt, the new running back that was acquired by the Chiefs, while I will be debating Christian McCaffrey, the running back for the Carolina Panthers. So, 2 minutes are going to be on the clock. Hoos, you are going to start to talk about Kareem Hunt and tell me and the listeners why he should be their pick, like why they should vote for him. So go ahead, Hoos, 2 minutes on the clock. Ready, let's go.
Well, all right, you guys know Kareem Hunt, he's my guy. I've been toning him a while. We also had Jake Sealy on the show, big believer in him as well. This guy, Adam Teicher, he's a beat reporter, also came out and said he believes Kareem Hunt's going to be a Chiefs feature back as a rookie. Supplanting Ware. He's been nothing special. He's only averaged 3.6 yards over the last 8 contests. It's bad numbers. So it's nothing special there. So Kareem Hunt, him coming in, he only has a Sharkhandrick West in there as well. So the guy is pretty much all around back. Hunt basically he put out 262 rushes, over 1,400 yards, almost 15. Added 10 touchdowns last season. Also caught 41 passes for 403 receiving yards and added another touchdown. So you can see these numbers, it's not like the biggest, I guess, shocking, you know, to hear that all of these beat reporters are now coming around. It's nice to see them coming around, saying Hunt is going to be the guy. He had 4 seasons in Toledo, versatile back. You know, as I said, he could do it all. He's caught 73 passes, you know, as a whole there of 555 yards. He's not the fastest guy, you know, but he's pretty much an all-purpose back. He's got good balance when he gets hit. So that's, you know, that's what Dorsey likes there. The guy pretty much is going to be a stud for you, and you don't have to draft him early. You can pretty much right now he's going, I just did a mock draft and a sleeper bot with the guys over there. And I got Kareem Hunt, I believe it was something like the 9th, 10th round or something like that. So if you're going to get a starting running back, which I believe, you know, that the guy out of Toledo is going to be,
Time is up, Hoos.
All right.
Whew. All right. What a delivery, man. That was good stuff, Ben. Listen, I just want to start out by saying, you know, I forgot to say this in the beginning, but these 6 guys that we're going to be debating, personally, I feel like you're really not going to go too wrong with these 6 guys. I think they all have a chance of being very productive for you next season. It's all about, really, I think, that, you know, you're going to have a couple of these guys maybe finish out better than the rest. You're going to have maybe 1 or 2 of these guys become a bust. I mean, you know, whether it's through injury or maybe they weren't exactly what we thought they were. You know, the adjustment to the NFL is something we all have to think about with these rookies. So I just want everybody to keep that in mind, though, that we like all 6 of these guys. I think that's safe to say. Am
sure,
I wrong?
For sure. For sure. Yeah, we like all these guys. It's not, you know, it's Master Debater. So for the sake of the show, just like is in the sake of the Great Debater, only there is a winner here. You know, Great Debates, we usually don't have a winner. There is going to be a winner here. There's going to be some trash talk. And we're going to some good loser stuff going on, too.
Hoos, let me ask you one question real quick. Were you done when Nick said time?
I had maybe like 2 more lines. You know,
Well, that's okay.
That's that great debate practice that gets you almost like 2 to 2 and a half minute.
Well, that's good though, man, because listen, if Kareem, see, here's the way this is going to work just in case if anybody's missing out on what's going on here. So Hoos just went, I'm about to go next. So it's assumed Hoos is going to like his guy more than he's going to like my guy. I'm going to like my guy more than Hoos is going to like my guy.
Right.
So it's going to be down to Chris to decide here. Who is going to advance to that head-to-head-to-head round? And the way this all could work out is we could have one guy having two of his guys go through. And if that happens, well, then you're going to somebody gonna have to debate my guy. And you're going to feel happy that I got two guys in the top three. So
it's going to be like The Voice, kind of.
Exactly. So without further ado, guys, let's continue on. I'm going to start my 2 minutes. Christian McCaffrey, hit that timer. So Christian McCaffrey, the thing I like a lot about him is he was a workhorse in college. I mean, for the Cardinals, he was carrying the ball 590 times for 3,622 yards and 21 touchdowns. And might I add, he also caught 82 passes for 955 yards and 8 scores and added another 1,613 yards and 2 touchdowns via the return game. I mean, those are huge stats. I mean, so the one thing you've got to think about is Carolina, they got a guy who's ready to work. He has not been underworked in college, so he's going to get in there. He's versatile. This is the thing I love about McCaffrey is, you know, he might excel better in a PPR league. That's a possibility for sure because of how versatile he is. He's a running back, and he states, too, he doesn't want to be known as a running back who catches the ball. He's a running back wide receiver hybrid. I mean, he even says, and this is a quote from him, something I really pride myself on is not just being a running back that can catch the ball, but if I move out to the slot, I become a receiver. He's got great route running, soft hands. I mean, and when he was taken with the 8th overall pick, this guy, you know he's going to be used. This is not somebody that they're saying, well, maybe we can develop him. Maybe he'll become something soon. No, this is a guy they know is going to become something now. He could be the most dynamic presence on that offense. I mean, you got Greg Olsen. Okay, we know who he is. He's good receiving tight end, but that's it. What about Kelvin Benjamin? He had a pretty depressing year. Devin Funchess, ew. Jonathan Stewart's still there. So maybe goal line work is where Christian McCaffrey could get hampered, but you're going to see he's going to be played all over the field. He's still going to be that dominant threat there, and I would tell you that you will be sorely missing out if you don't get your hands on Christian McCaffrey for this season, because I expect breakout. Done. Look at that. That was all I had, and it was a 2 minutes full. Whew. That's all I got to say for now about Christian McCaffrey until he moves on to the next round.
And doing some practice.
I love talking smack, but it's really not up to me. It's not up to you who goes on. Chris, this is your floor to tell us who is moving on between Kareem Hunt and Christian McCaffrey.
You know, I love both of you guys so much. I wish I could send you both through.
Who are you turning your chair around for, sir?
We live in the age of participation trophies, so both you guys get to move on.
Oh, boy. I'm quitting the show. That's
no,
I don't want a trophy for participation.
I don't know. It's tough because I feel like Kareem Hunt has a real chance to take over the backfield because I do not like Spencer Ware, but Christian McCaffrey is the guy that, you know, is going to have that backfield right away. You know what? I think I'm going to have to go with Christian McCaffrey on this one.
Boom!
Sorry, Hoos. I know we agree on basically everything.
might I say something, though?
Can't win them all. I do lose the perception, and then we'll see what happens at the end of the year. So I think we'll have to revisit the end of the year. We'll see who actually won. So,
well, I'd like to say something real quick before we move on to the next round. Now, Kareem Hunt, I respect that Hoos picked Kareem Hunt because I do believe he will become something.
And they moved up to get him. So it's not like, you know, they moved up to get him. They traded a third-round pick for him. So.
Exactly. But here's my concern with Kareem Hunt. You have a guy, yes, they traded up to get, but I don't think he's going to start off right out the gate. I think that halfway through the season, maybe you'll see Kareem Hunt being taken off waivers and becoming something that you will actually be able to, you know, a player you will plug into your lineup to help you win.
He's going drafted right now. He's going. He's being drafted right now.
What I mean is he might be drafted, but I could see him being a player people drop because they won't see the production out of him right away.
Potentially. Could be. You'll be
and
right.
I think if if you look at just these two guys and their landing spots, if it were announced Kareem Hunt is the starter day one, Christian McCaffrey right. is the starter day one, I would lean towards I would probably maybe rather have Hunt.
I think yeah, he's an RB1. I think he's going to be RB1 after I finish my rankings this probably this at the end of this week. He's RB1 for me.
I actually did not have him in. I don't even know if I had him in my top 30 in my rankings. I'm go back to him. I actually just finished my personal way too early rankings. I don't have him in there. I do have McCaffrey up at number 11, so I've got McCaffrey as an RB1. But if they were both starting running backs, but since we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I hear what you're saying, Chris. But let's move on to the next part of the debate.
Let's
get into it. So we got Professor Chris. He's got Corey Davis, Tennessee's new wide receiver, and we got Prophet Hoos coming back to the stage. He's delivering Mike Williams, the new receiver for the L.A. Chargers. So, ready, Chris? Go!
Corey Davis, I mean, man, what can you say about the guy that isn't impressive? He's 6'3", 33-inch arms. He ran a 4.48 40 time at his workout. He's the 2016 MAC Player of the Year, and he's just a flat-out stud. His stats at Western Michigan have really been nothing short of impressive. Even his rookie season was impressive. You think back at, freshman season was impressive. You look back at that, freshman wide receivers aren't really that great in college. He had 67 catches for 941 yards and 6 touchdowns. Let's progress through the next 3 years, because he did play 4 years there. 78 catches, 89 catches, 97 catches. So he improved catches every single season. 1,408 yards, 1,429, 1,500 receiving yards. So his yards went up every single season. 15 touchdowns as a sophomore, 12 touchdowns as a junior, 19 touchdowns as a senior. So yeah, I guess they went down between the sophomore and junior year, but 19 touchdowns last year. His stats just overall have just increased his entire college career. He averaged 106 receiving yards per game. Some would argue that these stats don't matter since the MAC is a weaker conference when you compare it to ones like the Big Ten and the SEC. But let's look at his career stats. 331 career receptions. That's fourth in NCAA history. 5,278 receiving yards, number one in NCAA history. 52 receiving touchdowns, number two in NCAA history. Not to mention that he leads the MAC, which is the Mid-American Conference, in all receiving categories. His game film is just impressive. It doesn't matter what position his body is in. The ball just flat out sticks to his hands. With a blossoming quarterback in Marcus Mariota, Davis is in line to be the number one rookie wide receiver. And could possibly even threaten to move directly into the high wide receiver two range by midseason, putting up some wide receiver one numbers occasionally.
Time. Woo. Chris, spitballing that hot fire. All right. That was Chris. Delivered some good stuff on Corey Davis. Now let's go to Prophet Hoos. He'll be talking about, as I mentioned before, Mike Williams. Hoos, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, guys, let's hit the timer. Let's do it.
All right, Mike Williams didn't fall in love with the landing spot initially. But however, you look at the receiving corps of the Chargers, they're always decimated. They always have a cursed player. They already have guys cobbled. So he's one of the healthier guys there. And that's the start. They took him in the first round, 7th pick overall. He had a great, freshman season. He had 20, decent bump, He started only 3 games, but 20 receptions, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns. 2015, he came back from, he had a broken bone in his neck, actually, after colliding a goalpost, after catching a touchdown from Deshaun Watson, his first offensive series of the game. He sat out for the season. He was redshirted. Season after, man, the guy came out blazing. 15 games played, 98 receptions, 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns. The guy was just a stud for you. I think he's in a position where he's going to be mimicking that role that Keenan Allen. He's going to be mimicking him. And Travis Benjamin, he hasn't really been, much. He's been injured now 2 seasons in a row. Dontrelle Inman, another guy, you know, he's coming into the season kind of hobbled. So Mike Williams has a great position to, I mean, you got Phillip Rivers throwing the ball, you know, sometimes 50, 60 times a game. He's going to have a position to be one of those top guys in the NFL. I know you said Corey Davis could be, but I mean, if you look at the offenses here, you know, Mariota's passing to his guys already. He's got his blanket of Delanie Walker. He's got, you know, Rishard Matthews. He's got that rapport over there. Yes, Corey Davis should be the number one there, but that's still yet to be seen. I still think that just based off of the variables or the measurables of what Mike Williams is going to be able to bring to the table, he's going to be that guy that you can also kind of take a little bit afterwards. And, you know, I think he's going to provide better value for you.
Hussein had like 15 extra seconds. I just want to point that out.
Well, nobody called me on time, you know, so nobody called me on time. I'm going to take advantage.
I thought Nick was doing that. But, you know.
Oh, whoops, guys. I had my mic on mute.
Oh, well, there we go.
That's what it was. Okay. Because I screamed out time as soon as it went down, but damn it. Well, guys, you just heard Mike Williams versus Corey Davis. Now, I'm the one who decides on this vote. You know, who's? I was trying so hard to go rooting for, you know, changing my mind for Mike Williams because, I mean, listen. I think of these two receivers, I got to give it to Corey Davis. I think he's got the most chance to be the best receiver out of this draft class. And with Mariota, I think that he's going to be that number one target for him. Mike Williams, on the other hand, is completely dependable on Keenan Allen getting hurt. And while that there's great chances of that, let's face it. Look at his history.
Cursed. They're right. Cursed.
Yeah. But, you know, while there's a great chance of that happening, I don't want to pin my fantasy value on hopes that somebody gets injured. First off, that just doesn't feel good. Second of all, it's such a gamble.
You're hoping that, Mariota throws more than 20 times a game. And he spreads it out to Corey Davis as well. I mean, you look at Rishard Matthews, how many – he got, what, four, five targets a game? Delanie Walker, about six to seven targets a game. How many targets is actually there for Corey Davis? You know, I mean, I just look at that opportunity. Phillip Rivers is slinging the ball.
I think Rishard Matthews takes a step back to Corey Davis. I honestly do.
Well, we'll see in OTAs. You know, we still got OTAs. So I still a big believer in Rishard Matthews. I could see the argument. I mean, both guys are, you know, Corey Davis is more touted, you know, and the same for Christian McCaffrey. These are guys that you're going to be taking earlier in rounds. So perception wise in the beginning.
All right. Well, who's, I'm sorry. That means.
Bye guys.
No, that means you'll be taking on one of mine or Chris's guys. As your own, kind of, even though it'll really be like ours. Okay. But Hoosh, you've technically been eliminated from the guys you started with.
Tears.
But now,
no tears. Let's
continue on with the first round. Let's wrap it up and get ready for the final round. It'll be Professor Chris versus me, Nick Summerall. And we're going to be debating Leonard Fournette versus Joe Mixon. I will start us off talking about Leonard Fournette.
Not good luck.
What's that?
Not good luck.
Bang. And Hoos will be voting, so he will at least get a participation award for this debate.
A little ribbon.
Let's get it started. Go. So the thing I like about Leonard Fournette is his size to speed ratio. And what I mean by that is 6 foot, 240 pounds, and he runs a 4.5 40-yard dash. I mean, that's freakish. But what else do I really have to say that hasn't already been said about the LSU product running back? I mean, he's been compared to Adrian Peterson. He's had every scout just foaming at the mouth about how great of a runner he is. He's just so strong. He bulldozes through defenses. And, you know, I mean, his numbers are staggering. He's got it all. He's got everything you want in your running back. Now, Jacksonville may not be the ideal landing spot at first sight. And I say that because You know, you have an offensive line ranked 22nd. You know, so that doesn't look great. But they did add Brandon Albert. They drafted in the second round Cam Robinson out of Alabama. So you know that's going to help them out. And, I mean, you got to realize, too, they made a lot of improvements to the defense. They are looking to be a ground-and-pound type of team. They want to stop people from scoring points and just run it in. Leonard Fournette, the other positive is the only competition he's got is T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory. I mean, that should just say it all right there. There's nothing to be competing with there. You know Leonard Fournette's going to get the ball in the end zone. His knock, too, is that he doesn't get a lot of catches, or at least he didn't in college. That's something that can be improved upon, though, in the NFL. Running backs can get more catches once they go from college to the NFL, so I'm not really concerned about that. And if this guy is just as great as he was in college in the NFL, he's right now projected to be the number one taken rookie running back. So that tells you everything you need to know about how amazing this guy is going to be in the NFL. And there you go. That's my time. All right. Professor Chris, you have the floor now. Your 2 minutes are about to start. Talk to us about Joe Mixon. Are you ready?
Hey, guys, wait. Before we go, who am I going to be debating on the last guy?
You might be debating one of these guys.
Oh, one of these guys. I get to choose. Okay, all right.
Cool. Yeah, you'll get to choose. But we have to see who wins. You determine who wins in this one. So, Chris, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, Chris, go.
All right, last season in 12 games at Oklahoma, Joe Mixon used his 4.5 40 time to rush 187 times for 1,274 yards and 10 touchdowns, while also adding on 37 catches for 538 yards and 5 touchdowns. So he got 15 touchdowns last season total. Combining these, you have a guy who averaged 151 yards from scrimmage every single game. That's just flat out awesome. He also had a great freshman year, I should say, after his suspension, going for 1,100 yards. For his career, he's averaged 116.8 total yards per game, and that was factoring in a freshman year. And college players, they really start to blossom after their freshman year. Now, look, we all know about Joe Mixon's past. Punching a girl who shoved him when he was 18 years old back in 2014, but guess what? 18-year-olds can be idiots. I was 18. I was dumb. 18-year-olds can make mistakes. He was just a kid. I fully believe that he's grown from that and moved past it, so it shouldn't be an argument that really gets used against Joe Mixon anymore. He's gone through the NFL draft. He's on a team. Now we focus on his skills. Mixon is known for basically being great at everything. He's got great burst from the line. He's elusive, but he can also power through people. He's not afraid to drop his pads and run into somebody. He can maneuver around defenders. He's got a strong stiff arm. He led the Big 12 in carries over 15 yards, with 11.9% of his carries being more than 15 yards. He's a true three-down back, but to go along with this, he's got great hands. He's just flawless when it comes to catching the ball. Sure, the Bengals have Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard already, but Hill is not that good. He's pretty overrated, and Bernard has been struggling with injuries. I think Joe Mixon is in a great place to take over this backfield before the season starts. And I'm going to stop right there because I had a couple more things to say that I'm going to save for the final.
All right.
Confidence.
There we go. Well, Hoosh, you got the privilege now to cast your vote and tell us, is it going to be Joe Mixon or is it going to be Leonard Fournette advancing to the final round of the Master Debater?
Well, I mean, what am I basing this off of, the argument, or am I basing it off of the player?
You're basing it off of it all, baby. You just gotta, you know, overall, what you think is the player, how we do, you know, what we talked about here.
I'd much rather have Fournette, obviously, but I mean, Mixon, I'd be waiting for Mixon later, more than likely. And
if it helps, Fournette's ADP is 311 and Mixon is 705.
Yeah, right.
And his ADP is that because he's such a question mark. So
no, I understand. I understand I understand exactly why his ADP is what his ADP is. I think I have to go Mixon. Based off of argument and and I'd rather wait to get the guy later.
I'd drop my mic if it weren't so expensive.
You guys know I'm a sleeper guy, so I mean, I'd like the guys later. I like the wait.
Doing me dirty, Hoos. Sorry, buddy. Oh, well, I think that's, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, but I do think that Leonard Fournette's going to be the guy at the end of the year.
I think he'll probably have better numbers, you know, but I based the decision off of the argument, the round I can get him in. That's what I based it off.
Now, Nick, what if you had, let's take the same situation that I brought up with Hunt and McCaffrey. If you know that Mixon is the unquestioned starter for Cincinnati, who would you take, Fournette or Mixon?
One of the things I really based my decisions off of, especially in a rookie situation, is offensive lines. I don't like the Bengals offensive line either. Yeah. They lost a lot of pieces. That hurts, in my opinion. But I think they're both dynamic enough, at least, that they can, counteract that. I think they can make it work for them. I think Joe Mixon could be productive, but there's some concerns that I'll talk about I'd rather save for the debate. So we'll get there in the final round. I'll bring up my concerns.
Oh, so you're gonna debate against him rather than for your guy.
Well, that's the
all great right, all right, all right.
2 minutes. You get to debate against guys. You get to talk about your guy. I said a lot about Christian McCaffrey. I have a couple more things, but I also got things to talk about your all your players.
Cool. Let's do it.
All right. Well, I know you're eager to get to it, but first I want everybody out there to get excited for this. Let's get to the Scott Fish interview. It was a great interview, guys. So please don't skip ahead. Don't just say, I'm not going to listen. It's a great interview. He's a great guy. Please give your attention to Scott Fish. All right, guys. Now, please, I'd love to introduce you to our special guest today. He is known around the world and the fantasy world from his famous Scott Fish Bowl. Please welcome the man, the myth, the legend, Scott Fish himself. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
It's a pleasure for us to have you on, Scott. I mean, like I said, you're like a living legend around the fantasy world with your big league here. I mean, you know, it's amazing to me looking at the league, how it started up. You know, it was a lot smaller than it is today. I mean, how did it get from where it was in the beginning to now?
I think mostly just hustle. I mean, we started it as a 96 team kind of reader league for the site I used to own and write for. Mm-hmm. And the second year we had trouble even filling that somehow. I took a year off because my wife was pregnant and I had a lot of stuff going on in real life at that time. And then the following year I decided I'm going to really try to make this a thing because I love the idea of it. I love the idea of bringing the entire community, the entire fantasy football community together for something, especially in a time of year where there's just nothing going on. And I just went around asking everybody I knew if they'd play. And every year since, it's just grown and grown and grown. And now it's become kind of an event.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's really interesting to me is now it's become an event where, you know, it's 240 analysts at the moment and 120 fans, and fans get to, you know, in like a Hunger Games style, try to get a spot into this program. But I want you to break down, for us and listeners who haven't been in the Scott Fish Bowl Pro-Am, how exactly does it work? Is it an elimination style type of thing? I mean, how would you break down the brackets in your own words?
Well, this upcoming year, it is going to be about 400 or so analysts, maybe 450 analysts or so, and 370 fans, or 270 fans, somewhere in there. It's going to be 720 teams.
My goodness.
And, yeah. Well, I have 3,500 people signed up. So, I mean, it's still tough to get in, but basically the way I have it set up is this year it's going to be 60 divisions, and these are 12 team divisions, and you basically play those out like a 12 team league, like your everyday 12 team league. And then after week 12. It's only a 12-week regular season. Everybody's kind of thrown together into a playoffs. The top half of every division makes it to the playoffs. The bottom half is done. There's a little bracket for them, but basically all the divisions get thrown together into this giant playoffs, and then we play till week 16 and crown a champion.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, that's 3,350. Is that what you said? That's about the amount of, of applicants?
somewhere around there right now, yeah.
Man, how do you keep up at night? I mean,
I can tell you I've already put in 10 and a half hours of work on this year's league. So,
oh, my goodness. Wow. So is this league a PPR, half point? What's the format as far as scoring goes?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out what to do this year with it. I try to push the industry every year. I try to make them really think and really have to – I don't want it to be your basic like MFL 10 or your basic PPR league or standard league that everybody's used to. I want people to try to work for it. So it's usually always a super flex. Last year it was tight end premium, super flex, and then running backs got point per carry. So it Yeah, it bumped up tight ends, it bumped up running backs, and it bumped up quarterbacks, so everybody was at a very even level, which caused a lot of draft chaos. This year, I'm considering taking away the PPR aspect because I'm just not a big PPR fan anymore. I was for years, but nowadays I don't understand why. I just don't feel like a 7-yard reception for a wide receiver should count the same as a 17-yard run for a running back. It just that or you know, even as far as a 0-yard reception, giving a point, you know, the same amount as a 10-yard run for a running back. It just doesn't make sense to me. So I might be moving to points per first down, which is going to be interesting for everybody out there. Let me tell you, when it's 3rd and 1, though, you're watching a game, it's 3rd and 1, and you got two players on that offense. You're going to be pretty invested in that play.
Wow. Chris, what do you think of that? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of PPR because I look at it more like if you have two wide receivers and one who gets one catch for 79 yards and another one who gets 10 catches for 79 yards, who did more work? Yeah, but when exactly. I never thought about comparing it to running backs, though.
Yeah, I'm all about trying to equal out the positions because for me that creates the most draft strategies and the most draft chaos. When you even out the positions, it allows you to go with whatever strategy you want. So if there are 12 teams in a division and, you know, running backs get this, you can take running backs early and be happy with that. If wide receivers get PPR, you can be happy. If tight ends are premium, you can be happy taking tight ends early. So the way I look at it is in a draft, if you have the positions somewhat equal, you can apply any draft strategy you want and end the draft happy with your team, and therefore, at the end of the draft, more teams are happy with what they've done. You know, you're not sitting there, oh, I screwed up my draft, as many of us have felt before. But on a whole, I do completely understand your point, and I do understand why people love PPR.
Yeah, I'm one of those people as well. I do love PPR, but you make some interesting points. And, you know, I never really thought of it the way you put it. You know, why should a receiver who gets a catch for 7 yards get the same points as a running back who runs for 17 yards? And that was really interesting. I never, you know, kind of thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. I mean, that's exactly what it equates to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want to move on here because, you know, you have quite an interesting charity I'd love for you to talk about. I think it's great. You know, us being a charity podcast here as well. You know, I'm sure you've heard of our cause for Rob. You know, I love that you do a charity called Fantasy Cares that raises money for Toys for Tots. Is that something that the Scott Fishbowl is, you know, incorporated with?
No, actually, the Scott Fishbowl, well, it is to a degree. I'm going to give away SFB 8, which would be next year, spots as prizes for Fantasy Cares, but that's really the only relation the two can have. SFB needs to remain free. We get donations from people and give those out as prizes. My wife works for – she's assistant director of the Department of Revenue here. So I have to make sure everything is, you know, on the dotted line and by the book. And got to make sure everything's run perfectly. So those two are very separate except for the spot prizes I'm giving away on Fantasy Cares.
So you don't just have to worry about divorce. You also have to worry about prison with your wife.
Right. Well, more importantly than that is her losing her job. I don't think prison would be on the line, I'm going to guess. But
depends on, I guess, how far you went. But yeah.
Right. I don't want to risk her job for something.
No, no. But, so then explain to us more then about Fantasy Cares then and how that works.
Okay, so Fantasy Cares is – it basically started a few years ago when I saw a buddy running a Toys for Tots drive. And, you know, he raised about $800, and I really got in the spirit of it. My son was one at the time. I became really, really passionate about kids and getting, you know, helping out where I could. And I've always been the kind of guy that, you know, I'll pay for a person who lines for me sub at Subway or, you know, at Starbucks or at a, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember movie stores, but I would occasionally rent, you know, give the last copy of a movie to someone, et cetera. I've always loved the feeling that doing good makes how doing good makes you feel. And so when I saw that, I got really involved with him, and he just had a lot of real life stuff and couldn't do it anymore. So I just kind of took over that mantle of this Toys for Tots drive, and it, like SFB, it has grown. I create a bunch of leagues each year, some best ball leagues for people to donate, play in. People donate prizes for me to give away. And it's a really nice charity. Last year we were able to donate or buy $6,000 worth of toys for kids.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. And, you know, I've been to your website, fantasycares.net, and I totally see that you guys are looking to beat that goal. So I wish you luck in beating that goal, because that's amazing. I mean, I love charity work. I love just doing what I can for others as well. So I'm definitely on the same page as you, Scott. That's just quite a story. It's quite amazing all that you've done here in the fantasy community and to accomplish what you have in 7 years. I mean, you know, it's got to be quite a feat for you when you take a step back and look at all the, you know, the impact you've made so far.
Yeah. I will say it has been a little bit of a whirlwind, especially these last four or five. I mean, I started writing in the industry in somewhere between 2003 and 2005. I mean, it depends on if you count me writing my own blog stuff or when I actually started writing a start sit column for a site, which would have been about 2005. But these last few years with Twitter and all the social networks and stuff really being prevalent, yeah, it's everything has grown exponentially. I'm really excited, to see where all this goes. And thank you. I love what you guys are doing as well with just having a charity podcast out there. Just getting this mindset out there to listeners is amazing.
Yeah, you know. That's the thing is I'm not saying that, you know, there's no other fantasy, you know, show out there that does any kind of, you know, charity work at all. But really, ours is centered on charity. I mean, you know, we make it a point that we like to give back. And, you know, yeah, we're starting on more of a personal cause than a big public cause. But I believe we have to start somewhere. And this is a true cause that means a lot to us here. You know, I mean, our friend Rob dealing with chronic Lyme disease. I mean, you know, it's sad. And, you know, you realize there are lots of people who suffer from these types of things. But, you know, you start with one and you try to work your way to you know, taking care of everybody else, you know. So that's where we came together and started this, is to start with that and then continue on. Because once we do get what we need to help him, we plan to help everybody else that we can. So, yeah, we absolutely love the charity aspect. I mean, Chris, you could speak on this as well. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the things. I mean, it does help set us apart, which is great in its own. But, you know, the fact that we are a, you know, podcast centered around charity, and it's going to continue to be like that, you know, as long as we're doing this. It's not like we're going to, get to some goal and be like, done, now we're going to be this for profit. I mean, it's we're going to stay as a charity podcast.
Absolutely. And in fact, just because we are such a, we are charitable. Scott, I just went to fantasycares.net and out of my own personal account, I just sent a $100 donation to you guys for Fantasy Cares. So,
amazing. I don't have words when this happens.
Oh, no, don't worry about it.
This happens.
Yeah. No, like I said, I really believe in the cause and I really wish you guys luck. I hope you guys really meet your goal at Fantasy Cares. So no problem. So, but let's talk a little bit about fantasy now, because listeners love hearing about charity, I'm sure, but I'm sure they really listen to a fantasy show to listen to fantasy. So Scott, is there anything you're looking forward to besides the Scott Fishbowl for 2017? Maybe some players or something maybe you're interested in for 2017? Like what are you following?
Oh man. Well, I think everybody's really, really following the draft right now, trying to figure out those landing spots. I'm excited for where players are going to land at the moment. I hope that people who know me know I have this giant man crush on Jay Ajayi. I've loved him since college. I thought he was going to be this bell cow number one back for years to come in the NFL. And I'm kind of hoping Miami doesn't address anything there. I want him to keep his role. I'm also interested in Melvin Gordon. If the first year was more real of him, or last year was more real him, where he's going to go from here, if he's going to keep it up despite the late season injury. I wonder if Jordan Howard is for real. The Bears interior O-line is going to be better this year. I think Glennon can't be much worse than the hodgepodge they had back there last year, quarterback. So I feel like Howard's real. That 5.7 yards per carry, he seemed real, but there are a lot of big plays, and those are hard to count on in the NFL. So I'm a big running back guy, so a lot of my mindset tends to be on what's going to happen with running backs.
Well, Scott, couldn't have talked about a more perfect topic for a guy like me who's a Chicago Bears fan. I mean, Jordan Howard hits home with me. If I could have our show talk about only Jordan Howard, I would, because I could go on.
You need to get a new co-host.
Yeah, Chris, you would not stick by that, would you? But it is interesting. As a Jordan Howard fan, I agree. I am looking forward to seeing how his season plays out next season. If it was, because I watched game tape on him too, and it just seems like, yeah, he did get a lot of big plays. But was that him getting the big plays, or was it just luck that he got those big plays? Or how much of it was, luck or him just breaking contact? And to me, it looked like he's just a pure downhill runner who can just break contact. And it just, to me, he looks like the real deal. But I'm also a Bears fan, so maybe I'm a little biased.
Well, I'm a Vikings fan, and I do. I also agree that he looks like the real deal. But sometimes that can be deceiving. I mean, Gurley looked like the real deal the first year, and I was a big Gurley fan in college, so I still have faith, but anything can happen. I do think it does seem like Howard's the real deal to me as well.
Now, are there any rookies that you're looking forward to? Any place that you'd like to see them go?
Oh man, I'd like any of the like legit wide receiver one types, not like John Ross, but like Mike Williams or Corey Davis. I'd love to see them paired with Mariota in Tennessee. Oh, I would love that. I would love for Fournette to get a place where he's going to be the goal line back and two, if not three down back. I'd love for him to get a legit starting role. I'm interested in where guys like Mixon and Cook go with their histories and how late they go. But I feel like they could both be really, really good backs in this league as well.
Yeah, now we had someone who I heard you on his show last year. It was Chris Harris. He had you on his show talking about last year's Scott Fishbowl. And that was the first time I had heard about it. And I was like, well, that sounds really cool. Maybe we can get in on that last year.
Man, last year I was on like 300 shows, it felt like, that week.
Yeah, I saw your name pop up everywhere. But we had him on, was it 2 weeks ago, Nick?
Yeah, yep.
He would not give us a straight answer about any rookies in the draft.
I'm pretty sure that's the way he usually is. I think he usually is a wait till after they're settled. I think he's kind of like a, you know, it's all a jigsaw puzzle, you know, the combine, the college, et cetera, et cetera. And where they land is a big part of that jigsaw puzzle. And a lot of people want all the info they can get before trying to decide, because landing spot is much more important than people like to give it credit for, especially when you can lock up a rookie running back for 4 or 5 years on contract. That landing spot does matter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone would think Zeke would have the same season if he was in San Francisco.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's interesting because we all, you know, fantasy to me, it's after the season, it's all speculation. It's all speculation and it, for every single thing. And that's, you know, I think that Chris Harris just wanted to, he doesn't want to speculate on speculation. I think right. He wanted to speculate with facts, and that's fine, you know, but here and, you know, most of the community, I'm sure is just like us, but we like to speculate on the speculation and just make it, make scenarios in our heads. Oh, wouldn't this be fun if, you know, Leonard Fournette went to, Carolina with Cam Newton, maybe, you know, or like you said, Mike Williams with Tennessee would be an awesome pairing with him and Mariota, you know, I mean, even Corey Davis, I'd like to see Corey Davis with the Ravens. I think he would be make the Ravens actually have somebody to worth drafting this year.
Oh, that would be interesting. Have Wallace take the top off, have Corey have that much more leverage in the middle and even on the sides too, but that'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is we love to speculate, but we don't have to speculate too much longer because we only have about a week left till the draft finally. So yeah. That should be exciting.
Yeah.
Scott, one last thing before we let you go, since you've been such a gracious guest with us, can you tell everybody out there where they can support you, find you, and please tell everybody about, you know, where they can find Fantasy Cares as well?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at ScottFish24. You can find Fantasy Cares at fantasycares.net. I run several different leagues that you can be a part of. There's these best ball championships that there is a pot, an actual pot you can win, and a huge chunk of it goes to the winner, or a huge chunk of it goes to Fantasy Cares, but there's a pot for you to win. There's this season-long Stardom Ones contest I got that goes during the season. You basically, like if you use Tom Brady week one, you can't use him for the rest of the season. It's a lot easier than you think it might be. But there's also Your Choice Leagues where you pick the charity you want to play for. And you can sign up for those. And the winner of those leagues gets to pick the choice where that money goes to. And if you want to play in the Scott Fishbowl, it's scottfishbowl.com. You know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to set up a couple leagues for Rob on Fantasy Cares and fill those up.
Wow.
and get you guys – see if I can't raise a few funds for you guys. I mean, Nick, that was awesome, giving $100 to Fantasy Cares. But I want to see what if I can help you guys as well.
Thank you.
It's all about showing the love around. So – I'm definitely going to do that today.
Oh, that means a lot. We really appreciate that here. Thank you. I mean, you know, honestly, I just, you know, I heard about your cause. I wanted to help out, you know, but you know, I wasn't looking for anything in return, honestly, but I appreciate the gesture, and that's really awesome for us and mainly for Rob. So thank you very much, Scott. That's really great of you.
Yeah, they'll be fun. We'll get a lot of people involved, and we'll try to raise some funds because that's what this is all about. It's all about the community working together to make this thing great, you know?
Exactly. Well, there you heard it, guys. I mean, what great news for Scott to drop off. Hey, one last thing before we let you go. Is Sleeper Wire going to be a part of this Scott Fishbowl or what? That's the million-dollar question here, I believe.
Dropping it live on the air. Well, I'll tell you, the invites don't go out till May 5th, but I would say things are looking up.
All right. Excellent. See, there you go.
Nick's got deep pockets if you need some more money. So.
Yeah, let's not get crazy there, but
yeah, my wife's job might be at risk if I talk about that on air.
There you go.
No.
Get that. How about that? Scott, again, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and we hope the listeners enjoyed having Scott on with us because he was an excellent guest. He's a great guy. So please, guys, go follow him, support him, and definitely go to fantasycares.net and support him through there and support all the charities that he has there. We really appreciate you being on again, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. This is great.
All right, guys, that was Scott Fish. What a great interview. I mean, Chris, how was Scott Fish?
Oh, I mean, he was a great guest. I really liked his whole Fantasy Cares charity aspect that he does this for. I just, you know, as you know, Sleeper Wire, we are a podcast for a charity. I think it's really cool when other groups are doing this as well. And sure. I'm super proud, super happy that Scott Fish has invited us to be part of the Scott Fish Bowl this year.
Absolutely. And how great is it that he's going to help out Rob this year?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Setting up a couple of leagues to help raise some money for him for the treatments he needs. It's fantastic. So thank you again, Scott Fish, for being on our show. We really appreciate it. But now that that's been taken care of, let's get to it. This is the final round of the Master Debater. And here's how this is going to work. The three of us are going to get 2 minutes. Hoos, did you decide who do you want to use as your debate?
Who are the choices again?
Well,
who are my choices?
Since Chris has two, you get one of his two, Joe Mixon or Corey Davis.
Mixon or Corey Davis. Guess Mixon.
All right. All right, there you go. So the three of us now have a player to use as our debates. We got 2 minutes on the clock. I'm going to let Chris start this off. And before you start this off, Professor Chris, just want everybody out there to know that the way this is going to work is we are going to debate 2 minutes each, but afterwards, we won't vote on who won. It'll be you, the listeners, who gets to do that honor. You will vote which one of the hosts did the best with their debates and which player you value the most. And what I like actually about the way this all fell out is I think that each guy can be the top of their position, but also still has some questions around them and their situations. So I think it's going to be unique. So, guys, let's get into it. Professor Chris, are you ready to start with Corey Davis?
I am ready to start. And, yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. You said I can go with anything, right?
Yeah, it's your 2 minutes. You use it how you see, please.
I will.
All right, ready, go.
All right, so let me start off by saying I'm glad I clearly won those last two with, you know, Corey Davis and with Joe Mixon. But before I get into them, I'm just going to take a few seconds here and go back and let's look at the arguments that these guys had for their players. Let's look at Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt can elude the occasional tackle, but he's not explosive. You know, he doesn't get straight off the line. He can make somebody miss, but once he makes a miss, he's really just dead in the water. He's just standing right there. He's not explosive enough to do anything. Now, let's go over to Mike Williams. Mike Williams, clearly not as good as Corey Davis, obviously, but he can't catch passes. However, he's had issues with drops. His route running, it looks like he's just all lackadaisical out there. Sometimes it looks like he doesn't really care. He's, you know, I'm looking at one of the things on his combine results that said that he's not very good at head faking out cornerbacks. Once he's going for a deep pass, he uses his arms to sort of clear the defender away from him, which could be, you know, bringing in some pass interference penalties. Just, you know, not the best situation there. Moving over to Leonard Fournette, he's really just a bowling ball, and that could lead to a shorter career. Right. He had a bad ankle most of last season. He sees a hole and he runs straight for it. Doesn't really try to make anybody miss. Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Stewart's still there. That's all I'll say about that. I do like Christian McCaffrey. But if I want to go back and finish up in the last 14 seconds here with my two guys, Joe Mixon has been compared to Le'Veon Bell. That's a great comparison. Corey Davis is one of the best wide receivers in the history of college football. Why would you not want these two guys?
All right. Well, Chris says, as great as that was, I mean, you should have probably let, you probably should have left some Joe Mixon talk for Hoos.
You know what? I only said one thing. I just, all I said was he was compared to Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, but you know, you're taking credit like it's your guy still, and now it's Hoos's guy.
No, you said I could do whatever I saw fit.
That's true. I did.
It's like I won with that guy. He's still my guy. He's
so are we all after this, Chris? Are we all meeting up at the bowling bar? Like what's
going on? Bowling bar, right? Yeah. I had a whole bunch of different screens going on right here, and I clicked on one that was the wrong one, and I was, oh man, lost about 10 seconds there. But you know what? I will go to the bowling bar because there is a bar at the bowling alley here in my hometown. So you know what? I'll see you guys there.
Excellent. All right. Prophet Hoos, are you ready to talk some Joe Mixon and talk some crap, I guess, about the rest of the rookies here? If that's what you so choose?
If that's what I so choose to do, yes, sure. Let's go.
All right, guys.
I'm just going to go into – I'm just going to wrap up some more about Mixon.
All right.
You know, interesting thing. He almost chose Cal over Oklahoma because it was best for him and his family. Had he made that decision, you know, maybe it would have led to some of the other ones. You know, again, Mixon just overall, I think, yeah, the line that it doesn't help his situation. He does have two guys ahead of him. I would have loved him in another situation. The whole ordeal of punching women, you know, again, as Chris alluded to earlier, I think, you know, the guy, you know, not to make any excuses for him, you know, raised by a single mother. The guy had not the greatest upbringing, but, you know, people make mistakes as they were young. He's got a ton of growth opportunities ahead of him, and he's got an opportunity to be a lead back. I still think Gio's going to be there catching passes. So I still see Mixon as a guy that I'd rather have, you know, again, waiting on them versus, you know, a value I usually draft versus value. So he's a reason why I would draft him. You know, he's a guy I'd rather have later. He doesn't have the most sexy potential as far as, you know, again, his landing spot. But again, if there's injuries with Gio, as with, you know, Hill, you know, that was always a conversation. If Hill gets injured, Gio's going to be the all purpose back. We never really saw it. He's always had injury issues too. But yeah, if Mixon, can stay healthy and stay out of trouble, you know, he definitely is going to have a great opportunity to be a top back in the league for the future. You know, we'll see about this year. You know, I think I'd like Hunt more. Then Mixon, if there's his opportunity, I really do
think
he's start right up the way.
There you go. See, my mic wasn't muted now.
Yeah, I didn't have much for Mixon, so I just kind of like slapped up. So,
hey, listen, it's all good, man. I thought you carried yourself well for you know, last minute on the fly type of doing that.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you.
All right.
I just like to say that if the listeners vote for Hoos, I get an assist.
There you go.
We know they're not moving that slap together Mixon thing. Well, unless they just like, you know, I don't know. They just like Hoos. They just like the voice. That's the sexiness of.
All right, Nick. Let's get yours out of the way so they can vote for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I think I saved myself for last because I saved the best for last.
Oh, no, you did that whole thing. You did that whole thing that, you know, people tend to do that. You're banking on the last thing they hear being the best thing they hear, and that's really not the way it goes.
I don't really feel like I need to do that, but let me say it in the debate because I'd rather have the 2 minutes to myself than have to talk to you about it. So, Steve, let's hit that clock. Let's go. 2 minutes. Go. So, you know, as I'm saying, Christian McCaffrey, okay, there's not a whole lot left for me to say that really proves my point because I've said it all at this point, but I'll talk a little more. Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. Chris says Jonathan Stewart, you're worried about this guy. Only spot maybe I'm concerned about with him is the goal line, but guess what? He can work himself out of any position. that he can become a touchdown monster out of the slot. And this is a guy you'll have at your running back position. So I'm not concerned about that. What I am concerned about, though, is Joe Mixon. You know, one of these guys Chris is all giddy about. Well, let me tell you, Joe Mixon, he's got maturity issues. Yeah, we're all stupid at 18, but maturity issues, this is only 3 years ago. You know, that's a huge red flag. Off the field issues, listen, if he matures, he could be one of the best running backs in a long time. He really could. Maybe he could be the next Le'Veon Bell, as the comparisons make it. But that's a huge red flag. I'm not going to take my chances. I don't think anybody out there should really be taking their chances and taking them too early. Maybe late if you're able to. But I'd let him pass me by, too, when I'm drafting. And as far as Corey Davis goes, I did say that I like Corey Davis. But on the other hand, I know they're going to run the ball. They do use Delanie Walker a lot. I think Corey Davis can be really great. I just don't think he's going to be as great as where some people are going to end up drafting him. You know, if you're going to draft him in the third, fourth round, like I've seen, I think that's too much of a reach. I think if you can wait on him, maybe like as your third receiver, or even later than that, that's where you're going to get your value for him. But you're not going to get the value for him there. Christian McCaffrey, I think, has the best value, and he's going to have the best production of all these rookies just because of how versatile he is. And PPR leagues, you're going to love him. So pick up Christian McCaffrey and pick me. There you go.
Oh, man, I screamed time, but I was on mute.
you're trying to be like me.
Oh, man, I was.
Winner, just like me. But there's only one person that can win in this.
Yeah, and you're here. You lost as soon as you asked me to be a part of the episode.
Oh, is that right? I doubt that. I doubt that, but it's cute. It's cute.
I mean, Chris is the master debater. He came up with the show, and this was
great like debate. I came up with master debater.
Well, he came up with the great debate. So
right,
I see that. A whole season of practicing. So
speaking of which, Hoos, did you see? I tagged you in something on Sleeperbot about two guys we need to do: Mike Evans versus AJ Green. I think AJ Green.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one next.
Yeah, so this could be future great debates, guys. I mean, great debates are great great shows to listen to. I'm not going to.
This was fun too, though, for sure. This was fun too.
Yeah,
yeah. I had a real hard time understanding the concept of the show that Nick was trying to explain about this. but it was fun. I'd do it again.
Yeah.
So I think this was a success. But now we leave it to the fans' hands. And where can you guys go and try to vote? Well, we're going to be on the Fantasy Life app. You can find us there. You can also find us on Twitter. We'll be putting out the polls there for you guys to vote. So find us at Sleepwire Show on there. And in general, if you guys want to find us, support us, show us some love, you go to sleepwire.com. It's currently under construction, but don't worry. It's getting there. It's going to look a little sexy for you guys by the season start. Oof, I don't know. You know, guys, masturbator, it's got me like a sexy move. I don't know what's going on with me. It's like, I'm just like oozing.
Why don't you go, balance, Nick, you know? Let me see your hands.
Take care of that.
My hands are above the desk. guys, please go to sleepwire.com. You can find all of our rankings, find the podcast, and listen to us. There's endless ways to find us. Chris, is there any more ways they could find us and support us?
Yeah, you mentioned Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. I'm on Sleeperbot as well as both Hussein and Nick. I'm on there at Professor Chris. Hoos is on there at Prophet Hoos. Nick is on there at Nick SW. And I'm SW, assuming Nick. I got that one. SW, you have two.
Yeah, but SW Nick is the one I use. So
SW Nick. And then also on Instagram, I'm on there at Professor Chris SW because apparently another Professor Chris already took Professor Chris. And Hoos, you're Hoos the Prophet?
I'm Hoos the Prophet on HUS the Prophet on
and we'll post links to the show on Sleeperbot and on Instagram as well, so you can vote there too if you want to.
We're cool now. We're on Instagram.
Yeah, we are cool.
We're cool
people. Yeah, we're cool people. Hey, you know what else? You know what else is really cool, guys? Our friend Rob. He's really cool. Super cool.
Hella cool.
And he works with us on the show, but he's sick. He's got chronic Lyme disease. And we talked about him with Scott Fish, and so We're excited about the opportunities there to help Rob, but we also need more help, guys. We need you to go to GoFundMe.com/RobJR. You can also find the link to his site at SleepWire.com. Please go there. Donate what you can. Help him out. I mean, he really needs it, guys. So please, go there. Help him out. Guys, I thought this was a really successful episode. I'm really proud of this one. So, Chris, thank you very much. Hoos, thank you for being on the show as well. You guys have a good time?
Oh, yeah, it was a blast.
Hoos?
Let's do it again tomorrow.
Hoos, did you have a good time? Are you there? Are you even listening anymore? I think he's already master debating himself. So, all right, well, we'll leave him to do what he's doing. But for Chris and Hoos, I am Nick Sumlow saying so long, everybody. Good night.
Peace.